Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 242, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Almighty God, thy lofty throne has justice for its cornerstone, and shining bright before thy face are truth and love and boundless grace. And what follows, Psalter 242, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together. It can be found in Judges 2, beginning with verse 11 through the 7th verse of Judges 3. And afterward from the Confession of Faith, Article 21. Judges 2, beginning with the 11th verse. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. And nevertheless the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-warring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge, for it repented the Lord because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, in following other gods to serve them, and to bow down unto them. They cease not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, and neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. And now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war, utterly such as before knew nothing thereof, and namely five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Thus far the scripture reading. On page 14 in the back of the Psalter, from the Confession of Faith, Article 21. The satisfaction of Christ, our only High Priest for us. We believe that Jesus Christ is ordained with an oath to be an everlasting High Priest after the order of Melchizedek, and that he hath presented himself in our behalf before the Father to appease his wrath by his full satisfaction, by offering himself on the tree of the cross and pouring out his precious blood to purge away our sins, as the prophets had foretold. For it is written, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and numbered with the transgressors, and condemned by Pontius Pilate as a malefactor, though he at first declared him innocent. Therefore, he restored that which he took not away, and suffered the just for the unjust, as well in his body as in his soul, feeling the terrible punishment which our sins had merited, insomuch that his sweat became like unto drops of blood falling on the ground. He called out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And has suffered all this for the remission of our sins. Wherefore we justly say with the Apostle Paul, that we know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. We count all things but loss and dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose wounds we find all manner of consolation. Neither is it necessary to seek or invent any other means of being reconciled to God than this only sacrifice once offered, by which believers are made perfect forever. This is also the reason why he was called by the angel of God, Jesus, that is to say, Savior, because he should save his people from their sins. We hope to remember in prayer Caleb, the infant son of Mr. and Mrs. Andrew in these months, who was privileged to return home from the Lethbridge Hospital. Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who may return home today from the Calgary Hospital. And in the Netherlands, the church and family with the death of Reverend A.L. Block at the age of 83 years. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, it is thy good and thy gracious hand that is given unto us and our children in the evening hour of this workday, the opportunity to come within the walls of thy house and to place ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony. O Lord, may it please thee to remember us, poor sinners, traveling through the time to that never-ending eternity. And then when we draw nigh unto thee, then it is needful that it is vividly impressed upon our heart and upon our mind that thou can only remember poor sinners and pour out thy covenant blessings in the name of Jesus, where he sits at thy right hand and there he intercedes for his church, that a church may be gathered, O Lord. May that take place in this evening hour by thy word and by thy spirit, that sinners may be wrought upon, that they may be quickened, that they may be enlivened to receive those new desires and new longings with profound impression of their sinnership, but is seeking unto thee, to be pardoned in the precious blood of thy dear Son, as we have heard out of the confession of the church, based upon thy holy word, Lord. It is also hidden. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to work the need, the desire, the longing, the waiting, the exercises, but also the fulfillment and that rejoicing in the things of the Lord. Lord, there is already a rejoicing and that earnest seeking to find a place at thy footstool as a poor lost sinner, but it more is necessary. We need to be washed and cleansed, Lord. May then in this evening hour sons and daughters be born in Zion, in a family circle. When there is a family addition, then there is great gladness. And so it is also in thy church. Oh, may it please thee in this year to grant a rich year of thy sovereign and free good pleasure. Spare that we build not upon sandy foundations, and do remember thy Zion. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Be a surprising God, thy Zion. Then they seek thy nearness, thy communion, to hear a word from thee applied to their soul, to experience thy loving kindness, and thy Zion needs that wedding garment to appear before thee. Lord, we commend thy church all over the earth unto thee. It is pleased thee in the Netherlands to take a servant out of the militant church and bring him into the triumphant church. We commend unto thee the widow, the family circle. May the calling be sanctified. Remember all thy servants, elders and deacons, those that are sowers of the seed. May their number be increased. We remember the persecuted church, the beloved for the Father's sake, our mission field, that people in Bolivia and that people in Peru. But, Lord, we and our dear children, we need the same. How terrible it shall be when, as a church, a denomination, we have been the means to bring the truth to a people in a faraway land where it may be blessed, that at the latter day we may see some of that people standing on the right hand, and then if we shall have to stand on the left, Lord, may then the prayers be multiplied for the coming of thy kingdom. We remember the nations of the earth, wars, rumors of wars, false Christs, a great falling away, the love of many waxing cold, because iniquity shall abound, the lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. But our Lord, the psalmist has declared that the Lord reigneth, and given to express that the Lord, that he is mightier than the waves, of the ocean. There is still a church to be gathered. Remember our country that sinks further and further away from thee, where sin multiplies. Lord, we remember, commend unto thee the leaders, federally, provincially, also in the cities. Remember our town council, may thy place have a word. Do pour out thy Holy Spirit upon our community. Lord, remember the many temporal needs. Thou wast glad at a family circle, when a little son, a little brother, that he may return by renewal to the dwelling. There were many concerns. Grant then a humble and a broken heart. The handicapped daughter may return to her dwelling by renewal in this day. But, Lord, the concerns remain, and they are manifold by renewal. We commend her unto thee for her body, but may it please thee above all things to save her never-dying soul. We commend unto thee the family circle, and so we commend unto thee the sick and the afflicted, all under the physician's care in special ways, and those undergoing treatments, difficulties of the body and difficulties of the mind, burdens and crosses, scars. Lord, continue to remember all the mourning families in our midst. Continue to remember and uphold and strengthen them. Grant a place at thy footstool. Sanctify the callings. Remember all of our elderly ones, the evening of their life. We commend unto thee the Bethesda, the residents, those that lovely care for them. Above all things, in that place, work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Spirit. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and daughters. And Lord, in the midst of all the trials and all the difficulties, may we not forget all thy blessings, which thou pourest so plentifully and undeservedly upon us and our children. Ah, thou makest such a great difference with most of the people upon the earth. And what maketh us to differ? Who maketh us to differ? Ah, Lord, that is thou alone. And may it then also be thy goodness, thy forbearance, and long-suffering that leadeth us and our children, that godly sorrow that worketh that true repentance and the need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, so bless all the labors thy word in the family circles, in the church, in our Christian school. Then we commend unto thee the students, where it is a time of exams and preparations for the writing of exams. Thou knowest how it can be in the life of students. May they be given to do their due diligence, humbly asking thee that thou may grant thy help and that thy word may be blessed to our youth. Lord, then in this evening hour, may our eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help? May thy word go forth with power divine. Ah, leave us not cold and untouched. Remember all those that are sick at home, when they may listen along, grant them thy blessing. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 291, the stanzas 6 through 9. Ensnared they served the heathen gods, and by them were beguiled. The blood of children sacrificed, the very land defiled. And what follows? Psalter 291, the stanzas 6 through 9.
Thank you.
in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. And then by renewal, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Judges 3, the verses 1 through 7, and we shall read the verses 4 through 7. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served other gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Our theme was the Lord proving the children of Israel. Four thoughts. First, the time when the Lord proved Israel. Secondly, the manner in which the Lord proved Israel. The third place, the reasons why the Lord proved Israel. And in the fourth place, the outcome of the Lord proving Israel. Beloved congregation, we have heard what time it was when the Lord has proved the children of Israel, the time of the judges, the time after Joshua, and before the time of Eli and Samuel. And then we have heard it, the time of Joshua, it was a blessed time. And also the elders that have lived with Joshua, then the children of Israel, they were given to walk in the ways of the Lord. They have come in the land promised unto them, a land flowing with milk and honey. They were given to sit under the fig tree and under the vine tree. But then we have heard it, another generation arose that knew not the Lord, nor the wonders which he has done for Israel, as we can read in the 10th verse of chapter 2. Then we have heard it, that the fathers and mothers have not given due diligence, maybe so busy in the promised land, maybe they thought not enough time. But of course, it was of the lack of desire. And then we have heard that a very distressful time has come. The Lord has sent his judgments. They have groaned, cried unto the Lord. He sent a judge to deliver them. And boys and girls, then you can remember what sometime the book of Judges is called. Do you remember that word? The book of the sword. And do you remember what those letters stood for? What does the S stand for? Sin. W, the wrath of God. The O, do you remember, boys and girls? oppression. The R, repentance, and the D, deliverance. That's what Israel has experienced as a nation. Also necessary that we are given by the grace of God to experience it personally. Sword. That by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, sin becomes real. Exceeding sinfulness of sin. This will step over in our day when the Lord works. Then we become a sinner before that good doing and holy God. And then we learn that our sin, that brings wrath, that holy God, He must punish our sin. That there is that separation, and that becomes such a sorrow. Ah, then a sinner. They are given to do what Israel has done. They are given to groan, weep, and for Israel, for most of them, it was because of the consequences. Harvest time, boys and girls, enemy would take their crops, take their fat animals, but by the work of the Spirit, not only the consequences, but the character of sin under God's wrath. And if our sin is not taken away, then we must eternally perish to be under that wrath. And then they experience that oppression, all poor and needy. But it's a true mark of grace. Because when we confess that we are sinners and we speak of sin, and there is no godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, then we must put a very big question mark behind it. Because when a soul experiences what sin really is, and that it brings wrath and separation, shall there not, on account of that love shed abroad in the heart, shall there not be repentance? They do not have to tell such a people, of course. People needed to be instructed. But then there shall be repentance. That repentance that cannot deliver, but it cannot be missed. And then deliverance. We have heard it. From the Confession of Faith, Article 21, to be delivered through the precious meritorial work of Jesus Christ. When we consider the book of Judges, and then when we consider our day, the book of Judges, we read, there was no king in Israel. Confusion, chaos, it's what the devil likes. The family and the church in a country. There are many third world countries where there is much chaos, much corruption, much trouble. In our countries, we still have governments, but alas, governments that are anti-Christian. Many laws being formulated, or at least the attempt to formulate laws contrary to God's holy word, and they shall be put on the books, and at the right opportunity they shall be used against Christians. Read Revelations 13, the mark of the beast upon the forehead and the right hand. And how do we live with it? Times are serious. Very serious. But how do we live with it? Do we perhaps get used to it? Still speak about it? But is there that sorrow concerning the sins of our nation, which cry to the heavens for vengeance? Is it with Psalm 119, verse 136, rivers of water run down my eyes, because they keep not thy law? And verse 120, my flesh trembleth because of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Or has the church also fallen asleep as a Jonah? Great storm upon the sea. And boys and girls, where was the prophet Jonah? He should have been praying. But he was sleeping in the bottom of the ship. Arise, O sleeper, call upon thy God. Oh, are we laying on our pillow of passiveness, complacency, under the truth, hiding behind the decree of God, the Lord's comfort? The Lord has decreed everything. But is the Lord not speaking also in that way? And when the Lord, because the judgment shall come, it's not if, but they shall come. And then how is it with our soul? Has our soul been saved? Have we found a place of refuge? Oh, for Israel, of course. Prophet Jeremiah lived much later, but he has cried out in Jeremiah 22, verse 29, O earth, earth, hear ye the word of the Lord. There was a holy urgency with the prophet. Oh, when we read of that time, and there shall always be a remnant also in the book of Judges. There was a remnant among young and old that feared the Lord, that were given to sorrow over the great forsaking of their God. But to Jeremiah, people said they desired smooth things. Also in the churches, also in our denomination, the warning man in the gate that admonishes is many times not so appreciated, because it does not have to be so strict and not so narrow. And we live in the year 2026. I read in Judges 5 verse 9, that the judge standeth before the door. And in 1 Peter 4, verse 17, that the time has come that judgment begins at the house of God. What a solemn word. Peter has not said that the judgment shall begin in a bar or in a movie theater or other places of wickedness, but it begins at the house of God. And why does it begin at the house of God? When in the house of God, the prayers are too few to avert the judgments of God. Oh, in the Bible, we have an interceding Moses, a weeping Jeremiah, called boys and girls many times the weeping prophet, because he loved his people so much. A sighing Ezekiel. And what else? A Daniel in Daniel 9 that came in the guilt with his people. He included himself. Does it still take place? Or is it the world? Or do we know times in our life that we know what it is to be a Judah? Second place, not enough corks for a nation to float upon. In the third place, the Lord glorifies his justice. And when the Lord comes with his judgments, then the church shall also know, speaking conscience, that the Lord is just, because the church is not what it ought to be. We must continue. Then we have heard of the manner in which the Lord approved Israel. Then he has left many Canaanites and many of those heathens in the land. Oh, for our family circles. How often husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, I hope at least, that you oftentimes speak of those things with a concern for your dear children. Oh, when they are little, then it is easier to keep them secluded from the world. But when they become older, live in a time of many temptations, and then we have heard of different tribes. Some they were privileged to drive out. Some they could not drive out because they had chariots. And others, they let live. They made them tributaries for their profit. And then we have brought it over to our time. Concerning technology, computer, phones. A few months ago you have received an email also concerning all those apps we do not need. And how many since last time have done due diligence with the technology to drive out some Canaanites. How many? How many fathers and mothers, younger ones? Because intentions will not do. And knowing what we ought to do. Martin Luther and Jonathan Edwards has stated that the way to hell is paved with good intentions. We need to do what our hand finds to do. And if we resemble the people of Israel, the promised land, and we do live in a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, does not mean there are no difficulties, no trials concerning daily bread, but how richly blessed we are if we do as the children of Israel. Then we shall be destroyed. The television that has destroyed countless numbers, millions. The internet is here to stay, useful, but we must not resemble the Israelites. And let some of them remain, but we must drive them out, because otherwise the consequences, there are consequences already, do not have to multiply it out. Young men, young women, marriages, trust broken. Thus instruction in God's word. Because if you only remain with Israel in the promised land and given to consider what they have done well and not done well. But when we do not apply it to ourselves, then it shall not be so profitable. Just by renewal, how many are there since last time that you have got rid of some Canaanites? And we speak of technology. If that has not been the case, family circles, let us stand shoulder to shoulder concerning those matters. Our third thought, the reasons why the Lord proved Israel. And then by renewal, we live in a time of many temptations, but let us also consider that we are privileged with many blessings above former generations. Former generations, Bibles were scarce and expensive. We are privileged to live in a time when we all have a Bible. Just imagine fathers and mothers. You did not have a Bible or a Psalter in your dwelling. Of course, you could speak about what you would hear in church, but that it would be much more difficult. Have a Christian school where God's Word is opened. In earlier days, because both prosperity and adversity, they both have their dangers. Sometimes we perhaps think we have it too good. if we think we have it so good, then we must examine our hearts where all that goodness brings us. Whether it brings us closer to God's Word and to God's throne in earlier days, families were so poor that they were so busy. Of course, Lord can use it to bring on the right place. But families so occupied, and that fathers and husbands had to work so long, hardly no time for the family circle. So let us not forget all our blessings. And Luke 12, verse 48, to whosoever much is given, much shall be required. May the prayers be increased, that the Lord, in a time of relative prosperity and most of us, we have read about war. We've never experienced war. Being on the battlefield or had loved ones on the battlefield, a few of our older ones still remember the Netherlands, World War II, hunger, many other happenings, but most of us have lived in a time of prosperity. For Israel, the promised land, Lord has been true to His word. He's promised them a land flowing with milk and honey, that they would sit under their vine, under their fig tree. Lord has prospered them, but they have forgotten the Lord. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15, when you churn wax fat, then Israel is kicked backwards. But now the Lord, that is written in our text and in the context, that the Lord has left those Canaanites in the land of Canaan to prove the children of Israel. And then there were many reasons. Then in the first place, the generation that has come into the promised land, they have not known what it is to be at war. And to that end, in a time of prosperity, then they have not seen so many wonders of the Lord. Then in the second place, they have left those Canaanites, different nations, we have heard it, different places, that the children of Israel would be more dependent upon the Lord, that in their prosperity through milk and honey, that they would remember that they are living in, that there are still enemies which surround them, and to that end, a closer life to His throne, the prayers multiply that He may be their refuge and strength, the keeper Israel that slumbers nor sleepeth not. Then we have heard it also to teach them to war. Paul has written to his spiritual son Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. and Christ in Mark 13, then he has commanded his church to watch and to pray. And to that end, with those enemies in the land, they needed spiritual armor, as we find recorded in Ephesians 6, the verses 10 through 18. Then further, then it was to test them. As we read in verse 4, and they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Then in the next place, the Lord, we read in Isaiah 43, verse 21, this people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. And now the Lord, in Dutch, we say the Heere pronkt met zijn volk. That means, boys and girls, that the Lord with that people, that he has chosen for himself, and to make himself a great name, that the Lord has a desire to display that people in the midst of the world. That is, we read in Matthew 5, the verses 13 through 16, that they may be the salt of the earth and the light upon a hill. And now for the church, when there are no temptations, when there are no enemies, then that people shall not so much show forth that they are the people of God, the love which the Lord has shed abroad in his heart, with a desire to walk in the ways of the Lord in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. That with the temptations, and he must pray, oh, let us add the true Israel, with those enemies, and of course, the true Israel has the biggest trouble with that enemy within. That is that flesh that is never converted. That is that traitor. Ah, the true Israel, they are burdened with that matter. That is the greatest enemy. And therefore, those outside enemies, the world and the devil, they have such an entrance to Israel. Thus the Lord does it for his honor and for his glory. Then in the next place, that in that way, separation may be seen for the true Israel, that you'll see by our boys and girls, our young people, that it is a people that is separated. Oh, maybe something too strict. When the Lord converts us, then it is not too strict. On account of that love, do we not read of Peter and John in Acts 4, verse 13, when they were brought before the Sanhedrin and they were given to speak of that one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, that they perceived that they had been with Jesus. Further, that in that way, with those Canaanites, we read it already when Abram has come to the promised land, that the Canaanite was in the land. But now in the way that they shall be proved with the trials through Israelite. Think of 1 Peter 1 verse 7, the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold, though it perisheth, though it be tried with fire, be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. But now in the way of their trials and temptations, and they can be so deep, and they can be so heavy. When the Canaanite seems to gain the upper hand, persecution. But in that way, the Lord, he teaches his people, he magnifies his attributes, and for the spiritual Israel, then the captain of salvation, so necessary, so precious, prophetical office, kingly office, and priestly office, and then in that way of teaching, they may receive the further assurance of their faith. Think of Abram when he is offered his son Isaac in Genesis 22. And then the apostle has written thereof, James 2 verse 21. Was not Abram our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his own son upon the altar? Then you say that is a strange text, because the church is justified by faith. And that is what James is speaking of, thus to be understood, that he was not justified by works, but that he received the assurance of justification through the performing of good works. Thus he has left the Canaanites in the land. And then we read of those three giants of Anak. And now for Israel, times that they are so overwhelmed, so it can be with fathers and mothers, any hope, children, that you do your best to obey your fathers and mothers, that there is a working together, God's word, our guide. But for the Israelites, when it seems that the Canaanites are multiplying, they are becoming stronger, and they come to plunder and to steal, that is not strange for the spiritual Israelite. Oh, what a trouble and what a strife can be those times, that they are afraid that they shall be conquered. But of Israel, then each time by renewal, when they were oppressed, then they have begun to groan, to weep, to pray. Their prayers became more real, more genuine, more sincere, not so general, more in particular, Lord, the Hittites, the Jebusites, Canaanites, they are coming to plunder our land. Oh, then Israel becomes more exercised with that covenant God and with his attributes, his wisdom, not that they can understand it, with his power, that he is that almighty God, nothing too wonderful. Lord has everything in his hands, how deep it can go. Unanswered prayers, unfulfilled promises. The Lord does it to prove them what is in their heart, and in that way, the church experiences that it is not so well. What all remains can be rebellion, not submission. Let us first sing. Psalter 174. Let us only sing the first stanza. O all ye peoples, bless our God. Allow, proclaim his praise. Who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. 174, only stanza 1. The Lord proving Israel. Then the children of Israel were examined. They were proved. They were tested. For many of our students, this shall be exam time, especially next week, to see how children have done in school. And then the students receive their exam back. And then students, then the most important is whether you have diligently done your best, studied and asked the Lord for his blessing. And so also the children of Israel in the promised land, they were proved and tested. And then, boys and girls, their mark was not so good. we read the outcome in the verses 5, 6, and 7 with three ends. And the children of Israel dwelt among. Thus not such a clear separation. Does not say that those Canaanites dwelt in a certain place. Israel received a certain place, but we read, and the children of Israel dwelt among. And now Israel needs to be separated. Balaam, Numbers 23, verse 9, Israel shall dwell alone. In the book of Nehemiah, concerning Jerusalem, then we read two times the expression, the broad wall. And that is so necessary for us. Parents, church, the higher the wall may be, and the wider the wall, the stronger. And then the gates, of course, need to be guarded. Then the safer we and our children are, and the bigger step it shall be for our dear children to climb over that wall concerning the truth, doctrine, and concerning walk. The late Reverend G.H. Kirsten, he has stated that isolation, that is the strength of the church. And many times our young people come with questions. That's still a blessing, youth, when you come with questions concerning different matters, then we can ask ourselves, is it necessary? Is it profitable? When we speak of that separation, not to make the wrong application, we are part of our community, our society. We must always be kind, helpful, be involved. It's a blessing and a privilege that also we have many men that are also involved politically, that we may give guidance to our government. That is our duty. The Anabaptist movement in the time of the Reformation, they have separated themselves completely. And now verse 6. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. Thus they were not a separate people. They took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters. That implies that those young men, the time of the judges, that they have asked the fathers of those daughters whether they could court and whether they could marry their daughters. So that is all instruction for our young people, because, my young friends, there is no more important step in this life than whom we marry. And to that end, the necessity, much prayer to ask the Lord to receive one not only in his providence, but in his favor, and even to ask for one that truly fears the Lord. We read already in the first world, in Genesis 6, verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And we know what has happened with the first world. Command in Deuteronomy 7, verses 3 and 4, that it was forbidden, and if it would take place, that the heathens would turn their children, win them over, for heathenism. But then can it not be that we take one from the world and win them over? Can be. But let us always remember that marriage is not missionary work. And now let us be honest. Who now has the advantage? The one that goes to church, the one out of the world, the one under the truth, or the one, what do we call it, an easy religion? Then we know who has the advantage. We have the instruction, 2 Corinthians 7, the verses 13 and 14, not to be yoked together with an unbeliever, in 2 Corinthians 6, the verses 14 and 15, Leviticus 24, we read of a son that has blasphemed the name of the Lord when he was fighting with another boy. Is mentioned that that boy was of an Israelitish woman who was married an Egyptian man. In Ezra 9, the children of captives have returned. Oh, then Ezra has wept sore because the holy seed had mingled themselves with the heathens. In Nehemiah 13, verse 24, there were children that spoke half of the language of Ashdod, and they could not speak the Jewish language. May those matters be firmly imprinted upon the minds and the hearts of our dear youth. Concerns the future of the church. Concerns the coming of his kingdom. Only have to mention the example of Ahab, who was married Jezebel. I read in Job 12 verse 7, that we may ask the birds. When we have a bird feeder, where all birds have opportunity to come, then boys and girls, youth, and sometime sparrows, finches, juncos, other birds, and they are about all the same size. And they come together to eat when you feed them. But what do they not do? They do not make a nest with another breed of bird. Same thing, we could speak of blackbirds, robins, about the same size, different color. But young people, I think you have never seen, sure you have not, that a blackbird and a robin that they have mated and build a nest. Then verse 7. And the children of Israel, after verse 5 and 6, what is necessary, young and old, that we are given to pray much, much at the throne of grace, and ask the Lord that he may place that fiery wall round about us, that he may keep us from all the errors, false religion, world conformity, and what else? What do we need? Oh, we have said in the time of the judges there was a remnant, but that the Lord by his Spirit, because when he works lovingly and irresistibly be by his Spirit, and he teaches his people the things of the Lord, also what sin is, and that it is all of grace. Nothing can be, nothing need be, and nothing shall be added. Then such Israelites, then they become jealous concerning Jerusalem and its walls and concerning its people, with the desire that all people would be given to walk in the ways of the Lord. When there is that tender walking in the fear of the Lord, then you do not have to warn about world conformity. When the Lord works, especially in the beginning, as such souls what sin is, and they shall be able to tell those bitter and sweet tears that they have wept. And such Israelites, they shall strive and sacrifice for the old truth and the old ways. And now verse 7. And the children of Israel, special people, chosen people, whom the Lord has set apart, and whom the Lord has given such a good land, flowing with milk and honey, did evil in the sight of the Lord. All capital letters. And boys and girls, you know that means Jehovah. I am that I am, that faithful covenant-keeping God. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And secondly, and forgot the Lord their God. It was a sin of Israel. Forgot his wonders. And then thirdly, and served Balaam and the groves. Thus they have served the idols. And then maybe there are boys and girls that say, well, at least the third point we are not guilty of. Oh, the first 2 points, that we are not free, but now to bow before Balaam and idol and groves and trees, that we do not do. Do we have any idols? That is something that takes the place of the Lord, that the Lord is the first in our life that competes with the Lord. Oh, then maybe a little girl has a doll that even has a bigger place in her life and heart than the Lord, or a boy, toy tractor, a toy combine. And then, of course, we do not have to think of children. A time of materialism, we shall not multiply it out. And what was now necessary for the Israelites in that promised land, what is necessary for us and our children, then Israel needed to be taught, and therefore the diligent reading and searching and speaking in our family circles, God's holy word, a lamp and a light. And then in the second place, unceasing, persevering prayer. And then we need the work of the Holy Spirit. Ah, those true Israelites. It's what we need to become. By the grace of God, it was not all Israel that was Israel. And now that true Israel, then they have no stones to throw. Ah, that backsliding Israel even goes deeper. So much good, so much grace. And then to commit so much evil after grace received and forgetting. Ungrateful creatures concerning the Lord's blessing. And then what an idols they can have. Just think of husbands and wives, children. Do not have to multiply it out. Oh, in that land, in that promised land, then the sacrifices were still brought, though there were times that became very difficult with the enemies in the land. But it was still proclaimed. Sacrifices with blood all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Romans 15 verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, then in this evening hour, then we have heard solemn and profound things concerning the children of Israel who have dwelt in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And may it be granted that we may all be given to turning unto ourselves, examination, to be ashamed, with sincere confession, repentance, and begging for pardoning, O Lord. Wilt thou remember us and our dear children in the latter days of the earth? Watch over us in the furtherance of this week, the home, on the way, at work, wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou remember on the coming Sabbath day do help the consistory. Grant the brother elders a sermon they may or must read. Help the doorkeepers, those who lead the congregational singing, all who have an active part. Ah, grant many a Aaron's and hers. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies when we hope to visit another people? Ah, Lord, they are few in number. But if Philip was also sent on the way to Gaza, bring us safely to our dwellings, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 308, the stanzas 1 and 3. And not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto thee be glory given. In love and truth thou dost fulfill the counsels of thy sovereign will. And what follows, Psalter 308, the stanzas 1 and 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.